When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
When your town has made you frown, when your square has made you swear, when life gives you one more punch, you need a donut soaked in Captain Crunch. You need a place to stroll without steampunk robots sell chocolate snacks. A place where you can tattoo your lower back. So let's go take a walk. Let's all go to City Walk, Orlando, tonight, tonight.
Podcast The Ride presents The City Walk Orlando Saga,
Multiverse of Madness,
a daily, extremely necessary series exploring the shops, restaurants,
and cosmic wonder
that make up Universal City Walk Orlando.
Welcome to Podcast The Ride, the City Walk Orlando Saga, Multiverse of Madness. And I just want to say, folks, Mama always said, podcasting is as podcasting does. My name is Mike Carlson. Joining me as always, Jason Sheridan.
Hi.
Scott Gardner also here.
Yeah, and life is like a box of podcasts. A box of podcasts would be the worst. What does that even mean?
You could put it in a box of CD-ROMs, I suppose, that had a bunch of episodes on them.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Do we need to do a physical media release at some point? The box set?
Could we do like a high-end Jack White's, whatever, Third Man Records, like vinyl pressing of some of our greatest episodes of all time?
Well, you could do like a split, like a 7-inch, one side is City Walk Hollywood theme, and one side is City Walk Orlando theme.
That's true. We could do that. Like, or we could, would it be full episodes, or would it just be like greatest hits? Would it just be like Jason said, no one gives a fuck about Grapefruit, and that's like one track? Is it more
let's get it straight. It's who gives a shit about Grapefruit.
Oh,
let's get the profanity right.
I'm sorry.
But this is why we need an archivist of our own material to correct us on our own points. Out there feels qualified to be our keeper of the vault, let us know.
Well, maybe it's our guest. Maybe he's ready to sign up for this unpaid job that we've just created, and he wants to do it. He's returning to the show from Ring of Honor, from AEW, Ian Riccaboni. Welcome back to Podcast The Ride.
Oh, thanks everyone. Yeah, I downloaded all of the City Walk episodes during the pandemic, and so during the first Ring of Honor bubble tapings, I got really into Podcast The Ride. I got really into the program, which led to me aggressively sending Mike DMs because I confused Mike and Scott at one point about all this Beach Boys minutia. I was feeling the fever. I could feel it building up. So we drove down to Florida over Christmas this year, and I made my wife listen to most of the original City Walk saga. And she had a lot of questions about Nick Mundy, who's become a friend of mine, and about some of the accusations levied back and forth in that episode. But it was a really good time, and I explained to her, I said, hey, we're on a mission. It's almost like, it's like the Blues Brothers, who come into play in this, by the way. It's like we're on a mission from God. Yes, we're going to see my parents. Yes, we're going down for Christmas, but we got to get to City Walk. We absolutely have to get to City Walk.
Wow, that inspires me.
By the way, Mike and I both just saw Nick Mundy for the first time since the deepest throes of pandemic at Disneyland, and in my case, downtown Disney. What were the designations there? It was not, it was, okay, it's Phases Now. What was it? It was Worlds. So that was World 1-3, which is the Napoli Italian restaurant. So so I'm happy to say that I got to see Nick Mundy on fertile soil. And sorry to say, nothing has changed. He is still a bad man.
Yeah, very, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was rooting, we went on Rise of the Resistance, and he was rooting for Kylo Ren.
Whoa. I saw him in Utah, of all places. We were in Salt Lake City together, and he had a Houston Astros hat on, which I thought was very disrespectful because everybody knows I'm a Philadelphia Phillies fan, and unfortunately, the Astros beat them 2 years ago in the World Series. So we had a little rough start, but I agreed with all of his Bo Jackson takes when it was all said and done.
I'm glad you found common ground. Yeah.
That's great. That's great. That's great. Well, being that I myself, look, there's confusion about past profanities that we've said in past sagas. There's confusion about are we worlds or phases or what is it? Why don't we set the record straight by quickly checking in with the Sector Keeper and getting today's official phase and sector assignment.
Boys, and Ian, Phase 2, Sector 3 is Bubba Gump, Starbucks, Cold Stone Creamery, and Red Oven Pizza. Good luck, boys and Ian!
All right, there we go. All of these... Okay, look, on the surface, some of these things are fairly perfunctory. Some of them are things that we have covered in previous sagas before. But the thing that is different here is Ian, and Ian's excitement seemingly about your time in City Walk, about past memories in City Walk. So Ian, if you would like to calibrate us to your feelings about City Walk or even anything in this particular sector.
Absolutely. I think what everybody needs to know is that the Sector Keeper sent me here, and it was through a Beetlejuice-like function. Oh. Anytime anyone mentions Allentown or anything related to Allentown three times, I appear. And so when Jason mentioned Dorney Park and then Christine Taylor, Allentown legend, was mentioned, and then Tim Heidecker was mentioned, that's what drew me to the City Walk saga, and that's why I'm here today.
When was all those? These are all just recent things that we've talked about. I have vague memories of some of
it. The Tunnel of Love, Dorney Park. Came up a bunch because they had a Mill Chute ride for many years that was called Mill Chute and then later Journey to the Center of the Earth. But it was essentially a dark tunnel of love that ended in a chute drop.
Right.
And I was researching all that very late the night before, and we recorded it in the morning the next day. And as I was like heading home, I was like, oh, I should have asked Ian if he had any memories about this. And sure enough, when it came out, I woke up to messages from Ian about the trout fishery. The trout ponds are still there. Just moved down the road.
Yeah. Wow.
Go ahead.
When the discussion of famous rivers was happening, I was yelling at my phone, the Lehigh River, because that's where the trout hatchery and fishery is in Allentown, Pennsylvania. So they just kind of shifted them up the river and over into a smaller place. It's on Fish Hatchery Road for those that would like to.
Is there
that follows?
Yeah, is there anything about the fish hatchery or fishery that is themed that would warrant an episode?
There is actually. So the Native Americans, the Lenape, are that was a fertile ground for them to fish, and it also was the site of turtles and things like that in Lenape culture. They believe that the universe was created on the back of a turtle. And so there's really cool markers along it's called the Little Lehigh that feeds into the Lehigh and explains some of the Lenape culture. But it's also through a grant from PBS, so Dora the Explorer, one of the characters from PBS leads you down.
Really?
Yeah.
So like PBS intellectual property. Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'll try and find that, but it's PBS 39. They do a lot of great stuff through the community. They're a wonderful, wonderful organization. So, but yeah, they've continued to keep that fish hatchery portion alive and doing well. And my kids love to go and feed the fish.
Ian, so it's a family friendly activity. That's great.
Can I ask a question? Jason brought, I've said this, we just talked about this again for the 100th time, but just, did I ask you, have you ever fished for pond eels?
Oh, geez, I've never, I don't know what pond eels are.
Okay, it's, never mind. Okay, then yeah. Enough said. Got it.
Yeah. It feels like something I should know from my journeys to Bubba Gump Shrimp, though. That well, feels I, like...
Yes, yeah. It does feel like part of that world, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, we're in that zone.
Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. That's right, they're heat and eat, ready in just 2 minutes. I recently tried some vegetarian meals because I am a big boy who needs to eat more vegetables. I tried great entrees like the Caribbean spiced tofu with black beans, rice, mango salsa, and coconut jerk sauce. And the garlic and herb roasted mushrooms. That's right, I'm a big-time mushroom boy. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. Head to factormeals.com/podcastride50 and use code podcastride50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code podcastride50 at factormeals.com/podcastride50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But you were part of why you okay. So you were summoned here by the keeper. The sacred words were said, which we didn't know. Christine Taylor was one of them, but now we know for the future. But in you had talked a little about, or we were DMing about your fond memories of City Walk Orlando. Is that a good way to weave us in? Just like what you know, some City Walk glory years that you, because not every guest has, a lot of the guests are people who were like, please go down to this place, because we don't know a lot of guests who've ever been here. Mm-hmm. But you in fact have a history here.
Absolutely. My brother's lived in Orlando since 2003, and so as soon as I hit college age, I'd go down and visit quite a bit. And I even lived in Orlando for a summer. I was a legal resident of Florida because at one point my parents had also moved down as well. So I changed my license and everything. And my brother and I, we'd go to City Walk to kill time with his wife and just hang out. And I have a lot of fond memories of just walking around, hanging out. And then my association with wrestling, they used to tape total nonstop action there. And so in addition to Ring of Honor, which we filmed a couple times there last year, I used to go down during those summers and see TNA wrestling. And now I've worked with a lot of people that since that were on those TNA tapings, like Samoa Joe, Christopher Daniels, AJ Styles, whether it be for prolonged periods or short periods. But I think my most embarrassing story was one of the only times I had the courage to actually talk to a woman outside of a school situation or anything like that was at the beautiful Starbucks, right when you walk in, the nice open air area, and it would later be someone that I'd work with quite a bit. So I don't want to finish that story, but please let it be known that I asked her if she'd like to go see wrestling that night, and she said, yeah, I'll be there. And she certainly was. She was part of the event. So,
it was a wrestler is who you were attempting to.
Yeah,
wow.
it was somebody that ended up being on television. She wasn't on TV at the time yet, but she would be making her debut that evening. So, wow. Yeah, I didn't get turned down, and it all worked out because I met my wife about 8 weeks later. So,
oh wow,
it's all good.
Jeez. Okay. All right. So it's a happy story, and you got to meet a future coworker.
Right.
This is great because the fact that you have anything resembling a moment or a story in a Starbucks is huge for us, because this is our third saga. We've had to deal with Starbucks in some cases several times within a series, and I don't know what else there is to say. You characterize it as beautiful. It seems it may have moved since the one that you. This is something we have to be on the ball about too.
Yeah.
Is tracking where the location of Starbucks, because Starbucks is one of those flux locations. It kind of moves within City Walk establishments.
Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead.
I remember it being in the same place. I remember it being when you walked in, as you kind of walk down. It's open air. I don't remember it initially being that big, and that could be the difference. I think it has more real estate now than it did. This would have been 2006. I have a ton of really fond memories too. In 2020, we needed to get out of the house, and Universal Studios said, "We're opening up, baby. We're going to be the first. We're going to beat Disney to the punch. COVID. Who cares? Wear a mask. Come on in." And my brother's down in Orlando. My parents were probably the most at risk in terms of COVID. We checked with them. We said, "Hey, can we bring the kids down? We're going crazy. It's been, you know, 4 or 5 months." They said, "Sure." My brother said, "Sure." And then we snuck off to Universal Studios. And I'll never forget the fun we had on that trip. It was about 100 degrees because it was in July 2020. And we had a ton of fun. I felt so bad for the Grinch. The Grinch must have just been sweating profusely.
They have the Grinch out. He doesn't even, that's not the season for him.
No, no. And he was out waving. And the Starbucks, taking my daughter in who just turned one, our son who's about to turn four, just the joy on their face to do something. And then they had figured out what cake pops were, and those are relatively safe, you know, for kids and good portions. So just the joy of them being able to walk around and see the Grinch wave at them as they came into the City Walk area and then go into Starbucks. It felt like that's when things were kind of getting back to normal, even though in my head I was like, do not do this. You're going to get COVID. You're going to not be able to work for Ring of Honor. You're going to get pulled off the tapings. But it was a calculated risk worth taking, and that trip in particular was so much fun, and it started with Starbucks.
Wow. Jeez, yep. This is far more than I thought anybody would have to say. Thank God, you've really come through, because I feel like we're kind of obliged to do more than 60 seconds on all of these places. And speaking of obligations, let me get this out, because now that we've discovered, at this point in the saga, we've realized that we are responsible for some material about City Walk Hollywood that it updates things since the last time that we did it. And so this seems like probably we got to get this out for the Sector Keeper's sake. Since the last City Walk saga, the Starbucks moved from what I think was Sector 14. I could be wrong. It moved up to part of a space up top some stairs that was formerly occupied by Carl Strauss Brewery. And it was there for a year or two, and then it moved back to the original location where it was the first time.
Which so, I believe it was expanded, the original location. I think it took over part of the Blaze Pizza, too.
Okay, yes. Blaze Pizza is... Okay, I knew there was something up over there. All right, there has been a change.
I think it moved to the top of those stairs so they could redo the original space. Because I could not figure out that when it was at the top of those stairs, I'm like, you have to walk up a flight of stairs and then walk down the flight of stairs with your piping. You know how you like to get a piping hot cup of coffee and go down a full flight of stairs surrounded by strangers? I just couldn't figure out why it moved. And then when it moved back to this bigger space, I was like, okay, this makes more sense.
Well, and Jason, also, the word Starbucks never left the original location.
Yes.
So that was always confusing, too. Why is there a giant, huge, empty space that says Starbucks, and then you walk up to it and nothing happens, and instead you got to go somewhere else, walk up a flight of stairs that where you can't necessarily fully see the word Starbucks. And as I learned one time, a stroller could not clear the aisle. I couldn't get my stroller all the way through after I took an elevator up with it. This was a very frustrating situation. Thank God rectified Starbucks back where it belongs.
Yeah. But
for now.
But who knows? Yeah, these Starbucks. It could they're wily in all of these outdoor malls. You never know where they're going to pop up. They might show up underground. They might show up in the sky. We don't know.
Toothsome could just close and become a big Starbucks.
That seems like the most likely prediction.
It's
ever.
Possible.
Yes. In Hollywood. Orlando, I don't know.
Orlando, it's doing
Toothsome
perfect.
Seems here to stay.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's fantastic. And feel free, Ian, to toss in other Starbucks memories if you have them. I'm also going to maybe point the direction towards one that I'm worried about content-wise. Maybe we just need to get a bare minimum done. Cold Stone Creamery. This All is right. in your sector. Does anyone have anything about the fairly nondescript Cold Stone Creamery?
I do.
Oh, good. Thank God.
I put this on the list for my wife, who's an amazing, she's a trooper. She goes through all these wacky missions. She has lived with me long enough to know that if there was a Kmart or an Ollie's or anything on a road trip, we were likely stopping to check. Oftentimes, I didn't buy anything, even if I found what I was checking for, which is my wife's least favorite thing that I do, which includes, you know, clearance out video games and action figures and things like that. Sure. I just need to check and see if they're there. But, the Cold Stone, this is the thing that made my children maybe the happiest. And we had this for dessert. It also served as a refuge for my soaking wet children who decided it was going to be fun to run through the Journey into Your Imagination style water shooters that they have out in the water fountain.
Yeah. You know, we didn't have a lot to say about that either. So this is actually cool. How did those, as opposed to the Hollywood ones, which have caused all manner of trouble in our mythology? Did your kids like those?
They did. They loved them. My wife and I before the trip decided that we're going to be a little less hands on. That we are too much no, and that this was the trip where we were gonna let the kids make a little mistakes here and there, and it cost us about $100 because we had to buy them dry clothes, but they ran through the fountains. They had the time of their life. Unfortunately, the sun went down by that point, and it was maybe 45 to 50 degrees that night. So,
so been there, brother. Been there.
We were not gonna let them get sick. But the fountains were very cool. They were a little less predictable. It was kind of like, and this is going to be a far out reference, the game show Press Your Luck. Michael Larson was the greatest Press Your Luck competitor of all time. He figured out there were three patterns on the board to get the big bucks. And all you had to do was figure out which one it went on, and he could time it. And he won $110,000 on Press Your Luck back when the highest space was only $5,000, right?
Oh, and wait, there's documentaries about that. This is a big story. The guy who gamed the system.
Yeah, and he did it perfectly legally. He just figured out where the lights went. So then they figured out how to randomize it and so that people couldn't do it. I think that's what City Walk did. Because when you're at Imagination, you can kind of figure out the pattern. I was looking at this thing for all 10 to 15 minutes when my kids were running back and forth through it. I couldn't figure out where the water was jumping. There was more than one outcome for each fountain. It was crazy. It was awesome. So I think maybe a kid, Michael Larson, did and figured it out, and they had to change it, make it completely random.
Larsened it. Okay, so they come in soaking wet. So you're operating at a financial loss, but now now cold ice cream is there.
Yeah,
a reward.
We had promised them ice cream, and it is what it is. I'll say this: it was as cheap as it is in Allentown. So among theme park desserts, it ranks relatively inexpensive because the portions are still gigantic. They're still as big as I remember at Cold Stone. It was good. It was quality. And I think each of the kids' things were like $7. And I think mine was like $8. They gouge on the soda. I think the soda was like, $4. But
right.
Yeah. But the ice cream, we got decently sized stuff for what you'd expect to pay in the suburb. So.
Can I ask a quick question just as far as kid preference? Because oftentimes Jason or I, but oftentimes myself, I choose something on a menu that might be aimed at 7, 6-year-old, 5-year-olds, because it has a lot of colors, sprinkles, or jimmies, as Jason might say. How do your kids do? Do they order like a birthday cake remix, or do they go for something more sophisticated?
Yeah, my son figured out that you don't have to color in the lines, and it's dangerous because we let him at Dairy Queen, for instance, go and mix the Reese's and the Snickers. And the one time he did Reese's Snickers brownie, and that's like I mean, it was almost to the point where they couldn't spin the thing because yeah. it's just
oh, okay.
there's too much stuff in it. Plus, it added like an extra $1.50 or $2 or whatever. So, mm-hmm. You know, we've encouraged him to be creative. But okay. now that he can read, he reads well. He could figure out what's on the menu. My daughter Nora, she just wants chocolate and sprinkles. If it's chocolate okay. and it's got sprinkles, that's for her. So, little mix of both. I'm a strawberry boy. If yeah. it's got strawberry, I like the strawberry shortcake. So mm-hmm. that's usually what I get at places like Cold Stone or
Dairy. I am also a strawberry boy. If we're talking about the core three, the holy trinity of ice cream flavors, I am strawberry boy, absolutely.
And I'm a person who thinks that strawberry shouldn't be in the trinity.
Ooh.
I don't think it's. I don't know why it's a primary. I it's fine. I'll have some strawberry ice cream, but
Jason, what do you think? Do you think that's the trinity?
I think chocolate, vanilla, strawberry is usually, if we're talking Neapolitan, that's the trinity. Right. I like the what is it? It's pistachio cherry chocolate. That's another.
Is that Spumoni?
That's Spumoni.
That's not. That's a different religion, Jason.
That's a that different. Is not but what I think we're talking. I prefer that. I like. You know, I do like chocolate ice cream. I think I like. You know, fudge. And chocolate chips more.
Thank God you're clarifying this, Jason. I think the audience was concerned.
It is different. but like, so
does,
if
does
I
Jason
can,
like chocolate or not?
If I can get a good quality vanilla and then get some fudge and some chocolate chunks in there,
you're not then okay. I'm happy. Long story short, you are not like Ian and I, and you're not a strawberry boy. And
not
that's
a
fine.
Strawberry.
That's okay.
Boy. That's fine. I did learn recently of
a fudge boy
that Cold Stone Creamery, they default to the sweet cream a lot, which I saw someone making a short video working at Cold Stone, and they're like, well, sweet cream is just basically plain. Like, it's just the default ice cream, but there's no, you know, vanilla beans or vanilla extract, you know.
Dude, it's a vanilla without even vanilla in it? That's a
right.
weak flavor.
That sounds godless to me. That sounds like I don't know how you even do that.
Well, I think at Cold Stone, it's just a base to put a lot of toppings in.
Oh, it's almost like they're creating their own ice cream. I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
depending on the toppings, the fixin, whatever
sure.
fixins or whatever they call them.
Jimmy's. I'm glad you're putting this in religious terms, though. You've kept that consistent, Mike.
Thank you. Yeah.
Ice cream, the religion of the show. Let me see. I can't decide whether to veer to, because I does feel like, you know, we should give, if we need to shortchange one, we can, but it feels like we should give ample time to the real star of the sector, which has been the previous star of a sector, and that is Bubba Gump. and you, Ian, jumped at the, you seemed like, okay, you're in town, you're gonna go do a family night, you were more than willing to have Bubba Gump be the main feature of your City Walk evening.
Absolutely. Something strange happened. My wife got really into it, and it was, you know, we're sitting at my parents, who live in the middle of the Ocala National Forest, which is like, you know, 75 to 90 minutes away, and we had a lot of fun, and we were gonna see him a lot that week. And I looked at my wife and I said, "You want to go to Universal tonight?" She said, "Sure." And so we loaded the kids up, and we realized the City Walk parking was more than we remembered. And so we made the decision to see if there was any hotels in the area, because in my mind, if I'm gonna pay, you know, $40 or $50 for parking, and the hotel is $100 or $125. Might as well just do it instead of driving back, you know, late at night with the kids. So
is that what we're talking parking wise? Why, by the way, we don't really know what we didn't park there, so we don't really know what we're dealing with.
Yeah, it shot up to Disney levels. It's pretty high, and it didn't used to be. That was one of the big reasons I used to see wrestling there, because it was a easy night out. Wrestling, the TNA wrestling was free, and parking at City Walk, I think after 5 or 6 at some point, was free, and that wasn't the case anymore. So we. I think maybe the free parking starts at like 9 o'clock now or 8 o'clock. It's like very late, and the kids' bedtime is usually, you know, on a vacation night, it's 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. So we couldn't wait to have dinner until then. So we figured, you know, if we're putting 40% of that toward a room, why not? So we got a room at Endless Summer, which is, this is where I segue all the Beach Boys talk into.
Oh, sweet.
And,
yes.
Yeah. And
that's a phrase in their world that they use all the time for the titles of lots of things.
Yeah. And I thought earlier it was a big parable for using biblical terms, a parable for summer in paradise when we were discussing all of the failed expectations and things like that in the previous conversation. But got an awesome room. Very nice premise. And I'm sure you'll go over this in the hotel section.
We clarify this in a later sector. We did make the choice. The sector keeper made the choice, right? Yeah, It was never said. So we just didn't, because something has to be out and hotels had to be out. Because this is, again, we don't know how long this is going to go. So and I don't know. I guess if I sound defensive, Ian, it's because you've now, if the audience is now wishing and hoping for a hotel sector, I don't know what to say. Hotels were out of Downtown Disney ordeal, so this is in keeping with tradition.
Well, I'll keep it quick. We had a beautiful view of an abandoned hotel that is probably going to get demolished and bought by Universal Studios and for another resort. And we had a two Dunkin' Donuts that were fully operating. But the hotel itself was actually beautiful. It was nice. It was Disney quality. It was bright colors, you know, beautifully clean head to toe. It felt like an experience, and the kids really got a kick out of it. Super high ceilings, awesome, you know, check-in desk, check-in counter. Again, something comparable to what you'd see at the Disney Resort. So they were pumped up right then because they had no idea. And they didn't even care if we were going. They just love hotels. So they didn't care if we were going to the park. They didn't care if we were going to City Walk. They were just, there was a big Christmas tree because it was like day or two after Christmas. So they were jacked up. And we take them into the room. We get them kind of dressed around. We get them in some warmer clothes because we know we're going to be walking. And then we hop on the bus. The transportation is awesome. It's like a 2-minute ride. It's right outside. It's more convenient than almost any Disney resort, maybe besides Polynesian Contemporary, you know, those Magic Kingdom ones. Mm-hmm. Like, it is hop, skip, and a jump. You're maybe a mile away entrance to entrance. So already this is great.
That, by the way, bodes well for the Epic Universe situation, where there's been the concern about will the transportation be complicated, sending people a little further away. But if you had a good, pretty sound situation, maybe that bodes well for the future.
Yeah, and the road design over there. So the Endless Summer used to be Wet n' Wild, and Wet n' Wild, you know, it seems relatively inconvenient. It's off of iDrive-ish, or was. But the way they siphoned the traffic and created new traffic patterns actually worked out really well. It's right off of I-4. You know, if you go left, you're at Endless Summer. If you go right, you're at Universal. You know, can't recommend it enough. And it was affordable. I think it was only, you know, for a room Christmas week, it was like, you know, $125 or $149 or something around there. Yeah, and so we got the kids ready. We told them we were going for dinner, and I'm telling my wife, I said, I don't know if they're gonna like this. It's, you know, I looked at the menu, and there's a lot of Cajun-y things, and it's about the movie Forrest Gump, and
which came out. Let me just do some quick math here. I think 49 years before they were born. That's right, isn't it?
Sounds good.
The irony of it is that I saw it in the theater in Florida with my parents and my brother. So this is all coming full circle. I'm having a crazy, like, you know, everything setting off a memory, even driving from my parents' house. We stopped at the Turkey Lake Service Plaza, which used to have an awesome kind of retro Burger King that has since been remodeled to a Wendy's and a Dunkin' Donuts, but it's still there. So all those memories, like the time I shot my dad with ketchup and I thought I was going to die because it's the maddest I've ever seen him. So I'm just like, this is beyond belief, and everything's going wonderful. So we get there and they couldn't have been nicer. And you walk in and it feels like you're in the movie. I can't stress enough the attention to detail, you know, within Bubba Gump Shrimp. Now, is anybody going to talk about the parking garage? Because I have some fond memories of that as well.
I believe that is the plan. You know, the sector keeper hasn't divined it all for us, but I think it's worth mentioning here. You were alluding to this, like the fond feelings just in the buildup of the garage. Yeah. I say go for it.
Yeah, it's again. I didn't know this was kind of in me, but I kind of flashed back to when I was the first time I went to Universal was 1995. Mm-hmm. So out of an 8, and I just remember seeing all the different monster movie characters and Jaws, and they just started to put up like a Jurassic Park parking section. If it wasn't that trip, it was the trip after. But you start to hear all the scores from the different Universal movies. So they drop you off on the bus just under the parking garage, and you take an escalator up to the garage where they do the security and your ticketing and stuff like that. So you go through security, and then there it is, the beauty that's City Walk. And Bubba Gump is on the left, and I'm still feeling this. I have endorphins and nostalgia and stuff I haven't felt in years, which I didn't know I had for Universal. I knew I'm addicted to Disney. Like, I have it for Disney, absolutely. But
so this experience unlocked it. I'm sitting here thinking, like, there must be, like, years and years of built up, but it's almost, they, like, unlocked it.
Yeah, because we only, as a family, we went to Universal maybe 2 or 3 times. I mean, 95... 2000, and you know, I'd gone with my wife on kind of a solo trip, like 2013 or 2014. With the kids, and then we 2020. So yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of memories, but this time it was just like, there it is. And it was really cool. But I'd never eaten a single Bubba Gump shrimp. I lived in New York City for 4 years. I never went to the one in Times Square. I'd always been kind of curious, but Bubba Gump's the kind of place where you can't really say, like, hey, guys, you want to go to that hot new restaurant, Bubba Gump? Or, like, it's never something that could be suggested. But now I had an excuse, and I'm so glad I did.
You have to. Yes. You could tell your family a ghost child's life depends on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were fully understanding. They, from the jump, when they heard the sector keeper was involved, they knew. And so we walked down. We went to the left. And it's right there. It's one of, if not the first things you see. And it's, I think, physically the first thing you can choose to do.
It's right on the aisle. It is a dramatic, it's like, it's a prime position in the City Walk, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah.
It is.
This whole stretch is like stuff tempting you. Like early in the day, it's Starbucks and Bubba Gump. And then when you're leaving, it's like, oh, do we need another meal? Should we go to Bubba Gump or should we get ice cream on the way out? Like,
in a lot of ways, these are like the sirens on the cliff calling to the sailors. Now, are there dangers that lie in these places? Sometimes, yes.
Yeah, and there was nothing, no danger involved in Bubba Gump. I mean, we walked in, it had the cool... I don't know if you guys remember the old school Long John Silvers that used to have the really detailed. Yeah. So it was it was that, but better. You know, the wood floors, wood panels, the ropes, the safety buoys on the wall, the pictures of a forest with different folks, license plates across the walls from the different spots that he was in the movie. There was just left and right. Everything was detailed. Pictures of Jenny everywhere.
What I'd forgotten about was like the folksiness. Like I'm looking at photos where there's a lot of like kind of grandma knickknacks, like that, you know, pots and little ceramics and you know, whatever, those like metal or those platters or whatever that you put up on the wall, like, you know, things reminiscent of Mama. I think Mama's spirit is especially strong in this location.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. I'm trying to put my finger on it. It's almost, this is going to sound like the craziest thing that's ever come out of my mouth. It's almost indescribable. It made me really happy to be there. They treated my kids really nice. They made a big deal about making sure that they were taken care of well. There's this cool thing. It's almost like Fogo de Chão. Where instead of where they have the green and the red for the meat, they have a thing you can flip over if you need service or if you need help, made it really convenient, especially with kids, because you didn't have to, you know, flag anybody down and chase them down. And my kids really got a kick out of just everything involved. They had a menu, and I'm going through my pictures now, where you could draw yourself next to Forrest Gump. And for some reason, both my son and my daughter just gravitated. They wanted to put themselves next to Forrest.
What is Forrest to them, though? Did you have to explain? And is the explanation, because the explanation is complicated. Well, he's this like cipher who appears in all of history, and and you got to be careful with certain aspects of it, given that it's an actor playing a type of person that he is not, which we don't see as much these days. Was there any difficulty in explaining to children what the hell this franchise is?
Did you just say, like, you remember the Polar Express? Like, is that where you start from? Is it an easier explanation? Well, he's kind of that guy.
We explained Forrest as a nice character from the movies that really wanted to help his friend, and he made a restaurant in the movie to commemorate his friend that he had a boat with. And that was...
That's really sweet.
That is. Yeah. You didn't have to get into the whole, like, well, he kind of journeys through the second half of the 20th century and represents... A lot, encounters a lot.
There's a weird sequel book where he meets Tom Hanks, and it's kind of a meta thing. I guess that's not an important thing to tell your children at all.
There's a script. There was a script. They were going to make a sequel, and then some events occur that kind of made it like inappropriate.
Then a lot of people kind of agree it probably should have been Pulp Fiction, so history doesn't look too kindly on it, because that was like the new daring movie. But it's still, I don't know.
Wait, did it really get delayed because of 9/11?
Supposedly. The legend now is that, like, oh yeah, we had a script ready to go, and then we were going to go a meeting about it on September 11th, 2001.
Oh my goodness.
But who knows how much that's apocryphal, like how much that's like, it just seems a little too perfect.
Well, right, I'm seeing it. Eric Roth, screenwriter, did say, yeah, he turned it in the day before 9/11, and that it had, wait, I saw what happens in it. Like, OJ's in it. Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Jesus. He had Forrest in the back of OJ's Bronco.
No.
Wait, what? What do you mean?
What? He was in there.
OJ's in the back. He can't be in the back. That's where OJ is. Al Cowlings is driving.
AC, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Does he meet the Ayatollah or something? Does he like...
The movies are back, baby. And if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Ys. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all time?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint, it's the name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Ys. Movies, Baby!
Yeah, we're getting close, because I think he may have been in the federal building in Oklahoma City before.
No!
This is bonkers. This is so nuts.
Oh, now we got to read this.
He danced with Princess Diana. Not what? On the night of. He
it's
wasn't
all
like in
tragedies.
A
tragedies. It's all Forrest least, wandering into
so
tragedies.
So is the first. Everybody dies in
That's
the first.
True.
Everyone has topical
that is true.
Illnesses and
illnesses or wars. Yeah.
Boy, OJ's Bronco makes no sense, though.
Really?
Wait a minute. Wait, hang on. I had Forrest in the back of OJ's Bronco. He would look up occasionally, but they didn't see him in the rearview mirror, and then he'd pop down. He was back there, and they didn't know? What events would possibly transpire?
And they were going to play a murder as a sight gag.
Like, it's like a...
Yeah.
Peter Sellers.
He was taking a gun to his head in that moment.
That's right. Oh my God.
If he misfired, he's like, okay, I won't kill myself. Accidentally pulls trigger while putting gun down, goes right through the seat into Forrest Gump's skull.
Was
he hanging out with OJ that night then? Like, why was he there? Or he like just stumbled into the car?
Maybe he knew Cato. I think he was friends with Cato Kaelin.
Oh, I could see that. Yeah. Maybe he's trying to start an acting or modeling career.
Yeah.
and his buddy has like, I'm staying in this guest house right now.
Okay, what are the odds? Do they cast Cato or do they get an actor to play Cato?
I think if you have Cato, you take him. I think if his price is right, you just get the real guy.
Yeah,
it seems Irish, like nothing has ever had a lot of trouble getting Cato Kaelin if they want him.
If you Irishman Cato Kaelin, so he's more era appropriate, I think it would be fine.
So you age him down at this point. Eight years.
Dial of Destiny face thing to Cato Kaelin, and I think you use him. I think it's because the technology is perfect now, so you may as well.
This is so nuts. I'm really glad I know about this now. I feel like we could spend the rest of the time trying to figure out what logical way Forrest Gump could end up in this car, but we can't do that. We've now distracted from what was a nice meal with your family.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
No, it's what we do on the show. It's wonderful. I didn't explain. I haven't yet broached the topic of OJ with my kids or Jenny's untimely demise. And it's crazy because as I get older, I almost appreciate my parents for things like that, because they did take me to see Forrest Gump when it came out, and they did give me reasonable explanations that weren't outright lies. And so I think one of the parenting skills over time, I think, that is super valuable is the ability to not lie to children. In you don't have to tell them everything, but if you start to explain something and give them enough, like this was a man who was in the army with someone and they had a shrimp boat and then his friend passed away and he started a restaurant, like that's it, you can kind of leave it there. And my dad always seemed to be really good at that, of just giving you just enough information. And the one thing I couldn't explain was why they gave my kids light up flashing glasses, because they ordered the kids drinks. But by the end of the trip, which was only a day and a half, we ended up doing the park the next day. We ended up with 6 total light up glasses.
Wow!
Wow, that's like Mike's kitchen.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, my kitchen 5 to 7 years ago, maybe.
Well, because now
you have
more,
a lot of
right?
catching up to do. Is what I'm saying. I just
what's the latest in your kitchen?
Mine? You're talking about me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I don't actually know. I think we have 2 Spaghetti Factory glasses from San Diego that are fairly recent. They're kind of nice glasses, too. They're not plastic, but they don't light up. They don't light up, sorry. But they are novelty restaurant glasses.
We just got some nice Disney on Ice ones when we saw the #2 Calypso artist of all time, Sebastian, perform his song, Kiss the Girl.
Oh, what a callback. So, yes.
Yeah.
Buffett #1. Yeah. Sebastian the Crab #2.
That's why you're the archivist.
Wow.
That's right.
That'll go on the record.
Let me ask you, when you went to Bubba Gump, did you guys meet the mascot?
Oh, I wish. If you go through my Instagram pictures at any length, you will see that it is either me and my family with mascots, me and my family at theme parks, or me at a wrestling event. Those are your 3 choices. And unfortunately, we did not meet the mascot. I was aware of the mascot existing. We did meet Bumblebee the Transformer the next day.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty good.
We met the Blues Brothers. So we didn't.
Oh,
we didn't
now how do you begin to explain that to your children? That's tougher than 9/11.
Well, they're 2 guys that came out of jail and they hated Nazis. And then they had to raise money. Yeah, I don't think I could simplify that.
No, it's too complicated. No.
Daddy, did they think this was funny or cool?
Well, both kids. Well, it's like when you do get around to explaining OJ, you do it gradually and you start with the dancing Itos.
Oh, jeez. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah.
What led to this? So what inspired this classic sketch, Dad?
Okay, I'm going to jump to one of the naked gun movies as I buy some time to think about how to explain this. I do need to jump in. When reading about Bubba Gump, I figured out I had once again convinced myself of something incorrect. The mascot's name is not Scampi. It is Shrimp Louie. It is a different dish that I was confusing with Shrimp Scampi.
Whoa. Okay.
Scampi.
Yeah, I know. It came up. It's come up recently how we couldn't remember it. And then we all believed it was Scampi. And look, you might hear episodes where different names are used in different sectors, depending on when these come out. So I guess the confusion about this is never going to end, obviously.
No one's, let's just keep making up names for him, too. Just change it every time and then never mention it from here on out.
Yeah, because he's in a top hat. So, you know, what is that? You know, fancy lad.
Our old friend, Fra Diavolo. Everyone loves him.
You can call him Pinky, I guess. Like, his name's Pinky.
It is surprising. Pinky is simpler than Shrimp Louie.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, hat and tails, you know? Because he's fancy. He's got both the top hat and tails. But he brings the tail no matter what.
Yeah, that's good. All right, from here on out, we'll just try to add more confusion.
Different name every time. That's the rules of a name I already... Shrimp Louie, you're saying?
Shrimp
but
Louie.
We may bail on Louie.
Huh. I'm not really going to remember that.
No. It's an impossible mythology to find, really. Like, nobody's... Yeah. I don't know. Maybe there were some, like, coloring pages for kids to clarify. But I think there's a reason they have not, like, hammered this into our heads enough
I'm
over
looking
the years.
I've just blown up on my screen a picture of my son coloring in the coloring guide. He colored in Forrest, and he put himself... They have a box of chocolates that you can color in, which is pretty neat. You can circle the Bubba Gumps that you've been to on the map in the United States. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And that's pretty neat. And then it has all the locations from the movie, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And what was neat about that, we like to drive down. It's cheaper, but also it's fun. The kids play their Switches and tablets. And so that map was kind of cool, too. My son realized what the states looked like on the map because they're... And so he said, Daddy, when you said Georgia, where is it? And so I pointed to Georgia. And so we had a brief geography lesson about some of the states that we just drove through earlier that week.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
Educational. So it was
an educational moment. Wow. That's great. So this is informative and fun. What did everybody think of the food? Because you had the risk of, like, Cajun. Does that not make any sense
right
to them?
So the kids, thankfully, and again, we had a server that was terrific on top of the kids' drinks and everything, and they got the special drink, which was kind of a Shirley Temple thing, but not really. I think they did it custom that night. It went in the collectible cup. So I think what they did, they put the cherry icy with Sprite and did a little mixer thing that wasn't on the menu. So we got like a secret menu item.
Wow.
And and they got, Zach got the chicken strips and Nora got the, I'm sorry, let me look here. Nora got the chicken. Zach got the mac and cheese, which is fine. Like, no Cajun seasonings.
What you default to. That's the parents' bread and butter right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And our literal bread and butter also. Can't go wrong with that.
And I got the, what was it called? Of course we have Scampi, I think is the official name of it. I wrote it down here and I pull up the menu.
But not, of course, the character's name is Scampi.
Right.
That one's not an of course.
Yeah, this is, it's called Of Course We Have Scampi, and my wife got the jambalaya. So we both really liked it. It was busy, but we were able to kind of eat at our own pace. We didn't feel rushed. The service was great, everything about it. I took a picture of, so this is how to the detail this restaurant is. I took a picture of an Ed Hardy thing to send to my brother and laugh, because Ed Hardy is objectively hilarious at this point in 2024. however, I didn't realize that Ed Hardy designs were in the Forrest Gump movie because of the year Ed Hardy started designing things.
Wow, what?
Oh.
Yeah, so if you look up Ed Hardy, Ed Hardy design stuff came out, where is it? It came out in the 70s, and it would have been around the time that Forrest Gump was doing his thing, coming out of the armed services, and there was Ed Hardy stuff and Ed Hardy tattoos and things in the movie. And like, there's little Easter eggs like that throughout the restaurant where seemingly untied together things. The attention to detail is so great that if you look at the license plates, they're all from places that he was at. If you look at the Ed Hardy stuff, it's all from something that was tied in the movie. Like, If you were a super fan of AEW and you had an AEW restaurant, you'd want this level of detail. I'm sure there is a Forrest Gump super fan somewhere, and I don't think they'd be disappointed. Everywhere you went in this place was just little Easter eggs. And if I had seen the movie within the last 10 years, I probably would have picked up even more. It was nuts.
It's really weird that there's just not any equivalent to, like, you know, it was a huge movie and an Oscar winning movie and a big box office success too, but there isn't, like, it's not a franchise, and franchises are like the only thing that inspire any physical spaces. So it's so unique because there isn't, like, I'm trying to think of like an equivalent hit, like, this is weird. It's similar tonally, but of course it wouldn't make a good restaurant. Like, I'm thinking about the Shawshank Redemption.
Right.
There's no, maybe it would. I don't know. It might be interesting being Shawshank. But, like, it just if you were just told, like, yeah, there's this whole chain, and they, I don't know. And you could, it's like you're in a prison, but it's fun, though. And there's facts about making the movie, and, you know, and like a Tim Robbins shirt and whatever. It's just, like, you'd buy that almost as much. It's just, it's so singular and strange, the existence of this place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really wild. It's like, I'm a big Joe's Crab Shack fan, and this is, like, basically you could... It's like a more detailed Joe's Crab Shack. Now, I haven't been to every Joe's Crab Shack, but the one in San Diego, it feels like, Joe's Crab Shack is the unlicensed Forrest Gump restaurant. They just don't have the attention to detail. They don't have the little touches.
Who's Joe? We don't know anything about him. Did Joe ever meet any presidents or inspire any famous rock stars' moves?
Right.
Joe is no one and nothing.
So yeah, I guess my point is just that, like, it's so weird because it's the movie, and then it also just feels like it's almost like a better version of an existing chain restaurant, or a more specific version of it, I should say.
Yeah, I think the only time in history that's happened was Arby's and Roy Rogers, right? I think we all agree Arby's is the punched up version of Roy Rogers.
I don't know enough
about Roy Rogers to weigh in.
I've never had Roy Rogers.
It's good, but in my opinion, Arby's is better.
Really? Jason, what do you think?
There used to be a Roy Rogers up the street from where I grew up that eventually flipped to a McDonald's, and then Roy Rogers became, like, only present at East Coast rest stops, much like the famous Allentown, Pennsylvania rest stop.
Hmm.
Very centrally located off of I-95, is that right?
476.
476, okay.
Yeah.
So I was always excited to eat at Roy Rogers because it was like a rare white elk. You'd only see them at rest stops.
Mm. Right.
Oh, interesting.
But do you think it's better? What do you think about it versus Arby's?
I think Arby's is probably more consistent.
Sure.
I know Roy Rogers has gotten me sick a few times.
Oh my God. More fondness about places that get you sick.
I don't think Arby's has. I think I've been okay. I've not eaten Arby's in a long time, but definitely at the end, I was eating the chicken strips a lot more than the roast beef, which I always liked.
At the end.
At the end of your Arby's?
At the end of my Arby's run.
But towards the end. So it's like when you're talking about a parent. And, you know, and at the end, you know, there were some rough times, but also a lot of perspective.
Well, because...
And a lot of roast beef.
Arby's would go on to open up the street from where I lived. And so in high school, it was often a quick, like, go-to spot.
Right. Right, well, the
glory days. Let me bring up something that I've learned about Bubba Gump that we didn't get into the first time we did it in the first sector, and that is the founder of the person who we have to thank for this chain. Do you mean Tom Hanks or Robert Zemeckis? I mean, in some way, yes. But no, I'm talking about environmentalist, entrepreneur, consultant, author, motivational speaker, and of course, restaurant founder Anthony Zalesi. I'm going to share my screen and show you this info is all courtesy of friend of the show, Bugmain Buzz Buzz. Here, I'm going to share my screen, and you will see something from his website, and there's a picture of him putting his finger to his temple next to a Bubba Gump sign, as if to say that I thought of it. I thought it up. Anthony Zalesi was worked in food in all manner, like packaged food, frozen food. And then he got a job for something called Meridian Products, the world's largest shrimp, lobster, and crab consolidation company. Sounds good, right? Mm. Wrong. Meridian Products' fortunes were dwindling. Their sales and margins were declining. So they brought in Zalesi, a genius from other companies, to help them find new growth vehicles. And he had 7 months of very little traction or change. Things were not working out at Meridian. And then one day, he put on the movie Forrest Gump and had the aha moment, as seen in that picture. This is where his own website gets confusing. When he saw the character, nicknamed Bubba Gump, reciting a list of... Well, that's not true. No, Bubba Gump is the two names. Even he doesn't get it right on his site. But anyway, the part where Bubba is doing the big list of all the shrimp, all the ways that you can cook shrimp, reminiscent of what Jason did the other day with hot dogs when Sector Keeper put him on the spot.
Right.
Anyway, that big list happened, and he's like, wait a minute, we could do all those kinds of shrimp. And the next morning, he headed straight to Paramount Pictures, where he secured, I assume he just walked up to the gate and knocked on it. Anthony Zalesi here! But he did secure the licensing deal for both shrimp and chocolates, all of it. Wow. So for a while, and I don't remember this era, that Bubba Gump was frozen shrimp. It was a grocery item first, and then the California restaurant, the Rusty Pelican, he worked with them to create the brick and mortar establishment, which was a tremendous success. So now we know we have a guy here. I think this is a guy, but a guy for good.
Wow! Thank you, Mr. Okay. Zalesi.
Now we know who specifically to thank for your nice meal. You can thank Zalesi.
I have a lot of respect for his tan, but also his apparent care for eye care, because he has a tremendous tan, but he has like the aviator blockout around his eyes. So that tells me this is a man that he knows how to look sharp, but then also got to protect those eyes.
Got to protect the eyes. Yeah.
Yeah, he needs those to approve future product development notions.
Maybe he was pointing to his eyes in that photo, actually.
Oh.
Saying, I'm protecting
these. Get them checked.
They're good.
Twice a year, get them checked.
We can all take a cue from Zalesi, his creativity, his self-care. In telling that story, have we missed, before we move on to the last restaurant of the sector, do we miss anything about your wonderful experience?
Sounds really nice. Here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't stress enough. Again, this was also reasonable. We got the big sampler. Let me look up the official name here. It is and it was plenty of food for all four of us. Run Across America. It had
I didn't
shrimp
know that.
Hush puppies, chicken tenders, Bubba's Far Out dip, chips, sauce. Wow. And it was really good. And it was what you'd expect from like that level of restaurant.
Yeah.
I think I have an idea of what it would be like.
Yeah. And then the kids' meals came in boats, in little paper boats.
Wow, yeah, that's great.
So it was really neat. Again, if you have kids, the kids' stuff in particular was very reasonably priced. It helps really balance out the meal. The portions were pretty gigantic, so don't go on anything but an empty stomach, because you will get a lot of food. And it just overall, just a really, really great time. And that was the point where my wife and I looked at each other and said, we have to take the kids to the park tomorrow, because we thought that by walking around City Walk, they'd realize there was a giant theme park, but they didn't, because they got too into the water fountain. So we probably could have went to the hotel and just drove back. But I think it was my wife and I at that point that were like, yeah, we're in for tomorrow. We better make sure there's tickets available.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Smart.
You, like us, had a whole world of fun, not even involving the theme park. And the main thing is, there's a recurring thing with guests of this saga. A lot of guests have been having trouble with food and or getting sick. Yesterday was Eva, who we haven't revealed what happened to her and where yet, but there's a real bad pattern forming. So, Ian, please tell me that you and your family made it through your City Walk experience without our curse.
Oh, yeah. It was, yeah, we were fine.
Great.
Yeah, we ended up stopping at Turkey Lake back on the way home from the theme park the next day. Again, we got Dunkin' Donuts there. It was just everything went well. We got to see my brother briefly even before we, before we left Orlando. He came down to Ocala. It was a great trip, but really the kicking it off at City Walk with the convenient transportation, the nicely priced and good food. That really set the tone.
Wow.
That's great.
Wow. That's beautiful. And this might provide rationale of why this fact I'm about to say is true. And I don't know if everybody realizes this. Bubba Gump is the only restaurant that is present at every single City Walk across the globe.
Oh,
it
wow.
It is the only thing. There's a lot of things a lot of establishments are at three, but Bubba Gump's the only one, which is at Hollywood, Orlando, Osaka, and Beijing. So it's really, this restaurant has been our gift to the world. Our gift to Asia, and it has to serve as an ambassador of American culture, and it seems like Ian thinks that is justified.
Yeah,
absolutely, and I do. It did leave me with some regrets, though. You know, you reflect on your life as you get older. Like I said, I lived in New York for 4 years. I had bad meals at the TGI Fridays in Times Square. I had bad meals at Hard Rock. Bubba Gump was there the whole time. I could have just went to Bubba Gump and saved myself the gastro pain that came from the other meals, and probably saved some money too.
Damn. That's true. I mean, that's something that will haunt you, but I don't want you to beat yourself up too badly about it. Just a little bit.
I appreciate that. It's a lot of it was resolved by good memories going to the Toys R Us across the way in Times Square and checking the wrestling action figures.
Yeah, those were never on discount, though, were they at that point? Yeah, not in the Times Square.
Yeah, that was not a discount-heavy location.
No.
They clearanced out the game. They clearanced out GameCube games, though, right as I got to college. So I had a big score of a couple of games for $4 there. But
wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
something. Huh. All right. Those are happy memories that outweigh the years of the loss pain of Bubba Gump.
Yeah.
Well, you know, probably the nice thing would have been to, like, you know, go soaring out on this high note of Bubba Gump. We do have to address Red Oven Pizza. Let's put at least a minute on the clock. Red Oven Pizza.
Okay.
I've been there on two trips, and it has been fine. It's fine. And you know what? Fine is saying a lot, given some of the other things that we experienced during this saga.
I've had pizza there too,
Scott. Salad there. It is fine. Jason, agree?
Yeah, I ate a mushroom pizza. It's like a larger personal pizza. I don't know. I like 12 inches across. I was heading to the airport. I ate some of it there, and then I took some of it with me and ate it at the gate.
Wow.
Oh, you took security? You took a pizza through
It through security. Well, it was in like a tiny box at that point.
We might have to bump up the rating. Fine is my delineation whether or not I pack it in the bag to go through security. I think that's probably better than fine.
I bet you and Jason, though, have a different scale when it comes to saving food if it's based on how good it
yeah.
is.
Yeah, well, this was pretty good. I mean, the Orlando airport is certainly not lacking in culinary options, but I was like, this was good, and it was pretty easy on the stomach, so good for flying, because, you know.
Ian, I have a question. This is actually, I don't know if I've ever done this. Have you ever taken leftovers on a plane?
Yes.
Okay. Because you travel a lot.
I do. So I've snuck things out of AEW catering.
Oh.
And others have as well.
Okay.
So I've taken some cookies. They have these nice boxes because at AEW, you could be there just to have an interview, and then you might be able to just sit back and watch the show for the night. You might be there to have a match. It might not be later, earlier. So they have these nice boxes that as they're putting the catering away, they'll kind of give a last call. You can fill up a box to take back to your room or to hang out and watch the rest of the event. So when I'm there for Dynamite or for anything like that, I will normally fill up a box because I don't know if I'm done by the time for Dynamite or if I have to go in for Ring of Honor or whatnot. So I'll have something. And there's good enough desserts where I've taken the desserts back on, checked it through, had it on my carry-on, got it through security.
And would this food be accessible if, like, I don't know, a friend or podcaster came to visit you, you shared fond memories of Allentown, would that particular person maybe be able to also sneak away with a box or two or five?
Or could you say, Ian, could you just say, like, I need an intern? It doesn't have to be college age. I just need a guy to help me out. And then he's just going to kind of come with me backstage and have access to all the areas, especially the areas sort of with all the layout, the food and stuff.
Are we trying to get Jason to smuggle some food out?
Yeah. I'm just saying hypothetically. I don't want to say who specifically. I'm just saying, possibility?
Sometimes in wrestling, getting stuck in catering, that's a negative connotation. I'm like begging, like, just drop me in catering.
Jason Sheridan, food smuggler, and Indiana Jones type adventure.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
With the plane line going from dot to dot internationally, freeing food to its rightful owner, him.
Smugglers run. Jason Sheridan, smugglers run.
some of my coolest wrestling memories have been in AEW catering. That's how I met Ric Flair and talked to Ric Flair,
who,
by the way, is the most amazing smelling person you'll ever meet.
What?
Okay.
It's kind of like a fireplace mango, and it's wonderful. And I didn't have the nerve to ask him, hey, where'd you get that cologne? Because I don't wear cologne, but I'd wear that because it was pleasant. It was welcoming, but it was also like it had like a hey, I'm here kind of vibe to it. So
okay,
yeah. But you know, I've gotten to, you know, I've sat and eat, you know, I don't want to drop too many names, but Paul White has become a friend of mine when we've done commentary together, the Big Show. And so it's fun to sit and have some more private moments with folks that otherwise I just kind of work with here and there and just kind of move on. So, you know, the AEW catering room is a fun place to be. And yeah, I've stole a lot of cookies. I'll be honest. Let's come clean. I've stole cookies and brownies, cheesecake. Yeah.
Wow. They got a full cheese. How many cheesecakes are back there?
Oh, geez.
These are people that can eat a lot. These are very strong people that can consume a lot of calories, I assume.
Absolutely, yeah. And then, you know, they watch what they eat in a lot of ways, but in other times, you know, depending on where you are in your diet, you want carbohydrates to make you look more vascular. So
sure,
yeah. There's a lot of cheese. When there's cheesecake, there's a lot of it. Mm.
This is the place to be.
We got
to
get in there.
Oh, my God.
I'm in. I don't want to brag. I'm in a AEW web series. I play a dog's agent. I'm in Johnny Loves Taya. I want to plug that right
now. Right.
Gee, well, you haven't plugged that properly.
You may as well get me back. I may as well be back there. I'm basically on the roster.
Let's throw that plug at the end too. After the, just tag that on so people I know people can find that.
Sure.
But for now, we probably should head to that point, especially because oh my God, now the stone is appearing. There it is. My God, it's incredible. Well, this one looks like, wait, okay, I think it's O.J. Simpson, but he's wearing an Ed Hardy shirt and light up flashing glasses.
Wow.
Well, that makes, he seems so much more fun that way. Wow. What a great tribute to the great time that you had, Ian. Ian Riccaboni, oh my God, you survived podcast The Ride, The City Walk Orlando Saga, Multiverse of Madness. Let's exit through the plug portal. Is there anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, Mike mentioned Johnny TV, who was recently on Ring of Honor. Mm. He's been on AEW, he's been on Ring of Honor. He recently won custody of Dalton Castle's boys. Mm. It was one of the most heartbreaking moments that we've ever seen in Ring of Honor history. So we have a big, huge event called Super Card of Honor. It's on April the 5th. It's at the Liacora Center. It's going to be that Friday night. There's a big weekend that weekend, and we're a part of it. It's on Temple University's campus. Tickets are moving real fast. Mike, you were able to come to last year's version in Hollywood.
Jason and I actually did.
Oh, yeah. Jason. So this year, tickets are moving just as fast. So if you go to rohtix.com, you can get your tickets there. And I have a feeling that Johnny TV is not going to be let off the hook, and that Mr. Castle might you know, be willing to try and punch his face in again.
Mm. Seems likely.
Mm-hmm. Any details released about the catering the catering situation back there? What's the access going to be like? What's the cheesecake scenario?
Yeah, strawberries on the top of the cheesecake.
Oh yeah, for the strawberry boys.
We've had that.
Oh yes, yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah.
So
hell yes, Jason. To screw Jason, I'm doing the internship.
All right, strawberry boy.
I had the idea. It's my idea.
it's gonna be a blast though. And then yeah, every Thursday, myself, Caprice Coleman, we're the voices of Ring of Honor. I pop up on AEW from time to time. Little Matt at Excalibur, he beat me again in the Wrestling Observer Newsletter voting for announcer of the year. But that's all in good fun until I steal his mask, and then he won't be able to do it anymore. That's right. I'm coming for you, Excalibur. But yeah, we're. But we have a blast, and I hope everyone can join us on for Super Card of Honor. It's going to be live on Honor Club, so if you've got the Honor Club subscription, it's only $9.99. It's one of our biggest events of the year.
Jeez, very fantastic. Cool. That sounds great, and so glad you could join us for this. Somebody with some true City Walk affection and nostalgia and recent memories seeming like the best ones. That's great. And I'm happy we didn't make your family sick. Okay. thanks to Aaron Gardner for the art, our own Mike Carlson and Zach Reno for the theme music. Multiverse of Madness merch in our TeePublic store. For the full saga experience, subscribe to Podcast The Ride, The Second Gate, or get every sector ad-free and an exclusive bonus sector on Club 3. That's all at patreon.com/podcasttheride. I believe this closes out this phase. We'll see where we end up going tomorrow as we head into the seventh of these. We're almost at the full week mark. I hope you're keeping up with us, and not to throw more stuff at you, but again, what is the web series, Mike?
Oh, Johnny Loves Taya. It's on the official AEW YouTube channel. It's a faux reality show, but I play the dog, Johnny and Taya's dog's agents.
Wow.
On the show. So I
We should put like somehow tie our universe to that universe so that the next episode only makes sense if you go watch that.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah. Mitch is on an episode as well. Mike Mitchell is on from Doughboys on an episode as well.
Wow. Sweet. So. Okay. Head there, check it, do that, and then come back to us tomorrow because we got more coming in for a lot of days still. So see you then.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Mike Carlson, Jason Sheridan, Scott Gardner, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.